From RunAsRadio.com, you're listening to Run As Radio, the internet audio talk show for IT professionals with Richard Campbell. This is Brandon Wen announcing show number 358, SharePoint in the Cloud with guest Jeremy Thake, recorded Wednesday, February 18th, 2014. Run As Radio is produced each week by Pwop Productions, providing professional media and podcasting services online at pwop.com. You can follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/runasradio.
Thank you, Brandon. This is Richard Campbell, and thanks for listening to Run As Radio. My guest today is a returning guest. Jeremy Thake is an experienced Microsoft SharePoint person, and he's been a SharePoint MVP now for how long?
Since 2010, I was awarded. Yeah, so four years now.
4 years now. And we've run into each other at a bunch of different places. Are you still with AvePoint?
I am, yes. So I've been with AvePoint now for 3 years, and that was a kind of a big step for me because it was a relocation from Western Australia over to New Jersey. So bit of a hop around the world, but it's been good fun.
And AvePoint's one of those leading lights in the SharePoint world. They seem to be filling in all the cracks that SharePoint doesn't cover on its own.
Yeah, I guess that was kind of where we're known for, is in the kind of the backup and the migration and the administration space. But more recently, it's been evolving more into more of the kind of the government self-service catalog space and into the compliance space as well, which has been interesting because it's areas that, you know, I haven't really kind of dabbled with in the past. So it's been interesting to see the experts coming on board and kind of building out those new products outside of SharePoint into other stacks in the Microsoft platform.
And that speaks more largely to what people are actually doing with SharePoint these days, that there's really quite sensitive information stored there and has to be managed, audited, and covered properly.
Yeah, and I think, you know, as you're seeing some of these other kind of technologies coming out of the Microsoft space, like Box and Dropbox, and kind of collaboration is very easy for end users to kind of jump into other areas and spin those up without necessarily going through IT. So SharePoint's kind of being challenged now on how it can be made easier for people, like businesses, to use it as it is as easy to use a Dropbox or use a Google Drive or something. So it's been an interesting kind of, we're almost, SharePoint's now focusing on what it first started out to be, which is a document management system.
Yeah.
It's having to do a full loop again on, right now we've got to polish your story and make it very usable for end users.
Yeah, well, now that we just have folders in the cloud, you better make a pretty compelling story, or I'm just going to use my folder in the cloud. Why would I bother with all this other stuff?
Yeah, and the organizations we talk to, it's very much around, we don't want our users storing this stuff in, Box and Dropbox and Google Drive. We want them storing them in our own, you know, what we've declared as the document management system, where we're monitoring it and we have records management across it and compliance. So it's interesting to see, you know, the customers kind of screaming out for that. And obviously we're addressing it with some of our products, and Microsoft are addressing it, you know, well now in the core products as well, which keeps us on our toes as well, as we have to kind of innovate as they innovate.
The other strength here is that, I mean, the Dropbox being all in the cloud, we now have SharePoint all in the cloud, because I never felt like the deployment story for SharePoint has ever been a happy thing. It's always been painful.
There's a lot of people out there that make a lot of money just purely out of kind of deploying SharePoint, for sure. So I think there's definite benefits of leveraging Office 365, which, you know, formerly was known as Business Productivity Online Services, or BPOS, as they kind of used to call it.
Yeah.
And I'm really impressed on how far it's kind of got in the few years that it's been kind of rebranded as Office 365, and obviously now being on the latest edition of 2013. And it's interesting to see Microsoft taking strides around the promises they made around, you know, making these things have release cycles of 3 months and patching all of these tenants that are out there in the cloud. So we're starting to see the push they made 2 years ago of, you know, you have to be in the cloud. I'm starting to see a lot of large customers having strategies around, right, in the next 5 years, we're going to be moving our SharePoint from on-premises to online into Office 365, whether it's dedicated or standard multi-tenant.
Right. And is it at the upgrade point, if you're running SharePoint 2010 and you're saying, now, do I actually deploy 2013 onto this or do I just move it to the cloud, which is effectively 2013?
Yeah, if they're moving to the cloud right now because everything is 2013, they would have to upgrade their on-premises stuff up to the latest version and then they use a migration tool that's on the market.
Right.
Our product actually allows us to migrate from 2010 directly up to 2013. There is some planning that needs to be done to get up there. But once you're up there, those considerations, service packs, cumulative updates, major upgrades, all that goes away because Microsoft's obviously handling all that for you, along with, Exchange and Link. And,
right.
Whatever else they throw at the stack as they move forward, like Yammer. And
yeah, they are continuing to add to it. But it is also a restricted set of SharePoint features. If you're one of those people who's right. gone deeply down customization to SharePoint, getting that up into the cloud is not easy.
Yeah, yeah. And that's really where my background was. I mean, prior to working at AvePoint, I was a developer in Australia and kind of mainly more on an architectural side, kind of guiding customers out there. And, SharePoint has a history of, we don't want to use it out of the box. We want to bend it and tweak it and make it look exactly how we want it. We don't, you hear the quote a lot from customers, we don't want it to look like SharePoint. And I think that's just the history of the products in the sense that there was tooling out there like SharePoint Designer, which allowed you to open up the SharePoint system pages essentially and get in there and change the CSS and change the JavaScript files and edit the ASPX controls that are on those pages. And, what happened with every major upgrade, that caused havoc because essentially those system pages that you had basically tweaked significantly changed. So you had to go and retweak. Even for cumulative updates, sometimes it could be a problem too. So Microsoft have tried to address that by encouraging you not to do that type of thing and move over to their new app model. So the solution model is now kind of the legacy way of customizing SharePoint.
Right.
And the app model is the new shiny way of building a customization that works.
And I tend to put on my developer hat when I look at this, but it seems to me that this is the composability model, that the base system is never altered, but you compose these additional elements on top of it so that it doesn't
right.
tend to break when stuff gets upgraded.
Yeah, near the beginning of my career, I worked on a product called Plumtree Portal, which I think got bought up by BEA, and I think now it's been retired. But back in the day, it was very similar architecture where the portal, the Plumtree portal was a series of portlets, I think they called them, that were put on the page that you could control the contents of what was in those portlets, which were effectively iframes. And the app model with what SharePoint's done is they call them app parts. So you can have an iframe to a page that's running somewhere else. It's not running on the SharePoint server. And naturally, Microsoft wants you to run everything in Windows Azure, but there's nothing stopping you from running that in an Amazon cloud and it being on a J2E or a LAMP stack or a PHP stack because all of the hooks into SharePoint that page running has is all kind of JavaScript calls, whether it's a RESTful OData endpoint or a JSON type more SharePoint construct API that you can call. So they have done a fair bit of kind of work to make sure that nothing that you write is running on the SharePoint farm anymore, because obviously if they're running X number of hundred customers on one farm and calling that a multi-tenant Office 365 environment, they can't have one developer that's going to potentially bring down all of the other customers.
Right. And it's the multi-tenancy model, I think, is the thing that scares a lot of people, that I don't know where this is really living. I don't know what it's up to.
Yeah, and I think Microsoft have tried to steer clear of advertising the dedicated model of Office 365, but I'm still hearing that some of the larger customers out there are being provisioned on their own dedicated Office 365 experience rather than being put in the pool of tenants in the standard experience.
I just don't know how anybody would actually know. Look, it's your own VM. you know, it's, you can't tell one way or the other. It's all virtual. Like these are pretty transparent to each other. They can't, it doesn't matter really.
I think the conversation that we see between dedicated and standard is usually a data privacy aspect.
Right.
Or the other side, which is probably a bit biased because being in the development space, is more around we want to use and customize that farm in a particular way, whether it's changing the throttling on the search indexing to get a better SLA or adjusting the backup RPO and RTO SLAs, or we do need farm solutions deployed because we have this system that we've used for years on premises and, you know, we can't get rid of it, and the app model isn't quite mature enough yet where we can do a rewrite of it in that new framework.
Yeah, the excuses always seem to focus on legacy. Legacy, legacy, legacy.
Yeah, yeah. It'd be interesting to see in the future how, you know, whether they're... We're seeing some customers already going, you know, we'll leave the legacy stuff on-prem, or at least we'll move it into Windows Azure VMs or Amazon or wherever they want to put them, and then put whatever is vanilla, not customized, running that inside Office 365.
Yeah, just because the benefits are so substantial and it simplifies a lot of things. But this also speaks to this larger movement towards governance in general. Like, what does governance look like as soon as the data is off-premise?
Yeah, I think that the governance work gets thrown around a lot in the SharePoint community, and it's partly the vendor's fault, such as that point. You know, we need a buzzword to hang our products on. With that, when we say governance now, we really think about it, and what I'm seeing our customers think about it from is really around what content is up there and who is accountable for it.
Right.
That's always been a problem on-premises, but I think what's happened more so now is that, you know, it's not just a concern that data is sitting on an on-prem server in your own data center, but it's sitting, you know, at risk out there, accessible by the internet.
Wait, yeah, the assumption always when it's on-prem is it's only accessible in the premise, which isn't
true,
but it is an assumption.
Not true at all. Most organizations have VPNs and different ways to access it from a remote location anyway.
Yes. And you know, once it's on the cloud, you know, it's accessible from anywhere, actually.
Right.
So now you have to accept that you're managing that problem. And I think...
I think the terminology of on-premises and cloud and hybrid and private clouds, you know, it's very kind of, it's a very gray area. And I think it definitely confuses the market a little bit in that sense.
Yeah. And part of it, you know, I'm still not past this idea that there's a certain group of people that are just looking for an excuse not to deal with this. So the number of people that I hear, it's just like, well, no, we're not considering the cloud because it's not secure enough, or it's our data is too sensitive. It's like, is it really? Is it really, really? You know, that whole conversation, I've just had this conversation in the financial industry with around email. And SharePoint played a big role in that, because the moment you get rid of attachments in email, as soon as that goes away, the email no longer had to be high security, because there's no knowledge in the email. There's just a link to a SharePoint site that has the knowledge in it. And the security is now hubbed around the SharePoint. And oddly enough, email works way better when there's no attachments.
Yeah, it's surprising that, right?
Yeah, funny.
Well, actually, Outlook works a lot better if there's no attachments in emails. I think that side of it with the security, that it's amazing that their companies seem to be very, very happy to put their email into the cloud. I think if you look at the stats that Microsoft have around Office 365, Exchange is the first workload that's being moved and adopted up into the cloud.
Yes. I just wonder how much of that is people are afraid to run Exchange. I'm not afraid of very many Microsoft products, but I fear Exchange.
I'm sure there's plenty of people that fear SharePoint, though, so I'm not quite sure that would be the... I've always wondered whether it's the tooling. You know, there's an out-of-the-box way of moving Exchange from on-premises to online.
Yes.
Whether that might be it's an easier thing to move than SharePoint.
Well, because mail is mail. In some ways, it's like SharePoint can afford to get mangled because it's got nooks and crannies that you can ignore. But email is one of those things that has to work every day, and everybody knows right away when it doesn't. So it tends to be really sensitive. But I'm with you that SharePoint Exchange both have that same behavior. They running the infrastructure is hard. It's an arcane piece of work. Upgrades are terrifying. And so there's this migration strategy. You know, at the point where you have to buy the new license to move up to the new version, you move up to the new version just to migrate over to the cloud and pay monthly for it. Yeah, certainly, that's where I've seen a lot of Office 365 Exchange moves happen that way. And it wouldn't surprise me at all to hear that SharePoint did exactly the same thing.
I think you'll start in the next 2 years, you know, and it's already started, to be honest. At the beginning of last year, there was a campaign that Microsoft did around the eCal and giving seats on Office 365 at a very discounted rate. And I think a lot of companies took that opportunity to lock that rate in and start to use particular workloads within Office 365 for SharePoint. So it'll be interesting to see, you know, that ramp up has definitely happened. But I think the next wave of people now is that, you know, they've seen that it's starting to stabilize.
Yeah.
And you know, Microsoft are getting used to the service updates and release cycles, and therefore more customers will be kind of convinced that, okay, we can put our stuff up here without too much concern.
Yeah, I think we're getting closer to this is just a non-issue. The argument now, I think more so on Exchange than SharePoint. Why are we considering lighting up an Exchange server when this just turns on and works?
Yeah, right.
You know, the interesting thing here is those mixed mode environments. SharePoint on-prem, Exchange in the cloud. I can't see why that wouldn't work. In the end, the link's a link, right?
So with the mixed mode thing, the SharePoint conference is in March this year. I'm not sure when the show is being published, but already the session logs are up there, and you can see a lot of what they're calling SharePoint hybrid architecture, where you might have a little bit on-premises because of a data sovereignty issue or a very highly sensitive data issue, but then you might have other workloads like your My Sites and your OneDrive, formerly known as SkyDrive, up inside Office 365. And then hooking the two up so that it's seamless to the end user, you know, with search and business connectivity services and the user profile, so that, you know, to the business user, it looks like it's one SharePoint environment, but obviously under the hood, it's a little bit of both.
Absolutely. And I think the show comes out during that SharePoint conference.
Wow, look at that timing.
Yeah, I imagine you'll be there along with, 6,000 or 7,000 of your closest friends? It's amazing when they do these shows.
So I think they're saying it's going to be a 12,000 show.
Holy
so
man.
I'd be pretty amazed if they get that many. But it makes it one of the biggest shows out there from a Microsoft standpoint.
Yeah, it's as big as TechEd, and it's just about SharePoint.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's starting to kind of blend now. I think the Office 365 theme of there's some Exchange sessions in there and some Link sessions as well. So,
well, that, you know, that's an interesting point about SharePoint is it does tend to stretch out and touch so many different things. Even on the dev side, there's an awful lot of development infrastructure that ends up living in SharePoint.
Yeah, yeah. And I think that it's coming full circle now. Like, you know, it was originally, you know, before the code name of Tahoe, SharePoint Portal Services.
Right.
And the whole intention was that it was a portal through to all of your business applications. And the wording on the homepage of the SharePoint site is very much going back to that now, where especially now with this new app model, which is, you know, essentially an iframe to all of your business applications, no matter what platform stack they're running on. And then just hooking into the user profiles and the search and all the plumbing that, you know, you can benefit from in SharePoint, like document management features, that there's going to be a big push there. I'm actually doing a session while I'm there on writing pure JavaScript, HTML, web applications with the Angular JS framework and building out a SharePoint application for that. So it's, I think that the future there is that there was a very big stumbling block, which was a benefit. I mean, I'm not going to get you wrong. It was my career when I was in Australia being a SharePoint developer. And,
sure.
You know, the rates were pretty competitive there. But I think what Microsoft are trying to do is open up the skill sets to who can build SharePoint applications to just any web developer. And they're getting very close to it. I think the technology is there. They just need to kind of back with all the material and code samples for things like I'm a PHP developer and I want to build a SharePoint app part that will display on my intranet. And I think that will definitely help to ease the pain that comes about from having to be very understand the nuances and the intricacies of the old way with the solution model of building, you know, business solutions on top of SharePoint.
Yeah, and you know, we get back to the confusion that is SharePoint. Is it a document management system / project manager collaboration tool? Is it a portal to these other apps? Is it actually the app platform? I don't think they've ever done themselves a service by making this so cloudy. And you started off this conversation, and actually I pop open the SharePoint site on Microsoft again, and they lead with the document management story.
Right.
Which I think I appreciate.
That's changed recently, and I think they're definitely focusing more on that. I mean, I don't know if you've the SharePoint pie where it was like six things and every major release that pie would change, but essentially meant the same thing.
Right.
So it'll be interesting to see with the whether there is a pie this time around at the conference, or whether that pie has been eaten up and kind of regurgitated as just purely a document management play.
Well, it gets back to, like, can we do an inventory of what's out there, you know, demographic study? What are people really using SharePoint for?
Right.
And my sense has always been it's because document management, keeping documents and materials for a given project in a place where you know there's one version of the truth is a hard problem. And SharePoint, to my mind, that's the thing it actually does well. It's an okay CMS, but there are better ones. If you really want CMS, there's another way to go. But I don't know that there's many in the way of better document management solutions that aren't significantly oriented differently. Like Xerox's document management solution, which is about scanning paper documents and cataloging them, very different creature than what SharePoint is.
Right. Yeah, I think it tried to be a master of many trades, and unfortunately, it wasn't really strong in any of them.
It was
kind of, you know, it tried to do everything. You know, there's a blogging engine in there, and you know, for many years, my personal blog was running on SharePoint, and I finally migrated it mid last year because, you know, I just realized I was doing myself this service by compromising compared to a dedicated product like WordPress, which I'm using now, that, you know, is a lot more sophisticated as a blogging engine. And so I think Microsoft have started to realize that and are focusing more on, you know, what things are its strengths and identify itself in the market from that perspective.
Yeah, and I'm with you. It's like, you remember the good old days where we had the combination cassette tape player, record player, and it basically both of them were crappy? It's like, you know, it's better to do one thing well than four things poorly.
Yeah. Yeah, I think with the competition of Box and Dropbox and Google Drive or Google Apps, sorry, kind of, they're starting to make a little bit of a dent in the enterprise market from looking at the Forrester reports that have just, you know, released last year, actually. And I think Microsoft have realized that they have to be very, very strong against that competition in the document management space, regardless of all the other things that SharePoint does.
Right. That, to me, seems like their bread and butter.
Yeah.
And so if you take care of that, the other things will come. I mean, the app story to me gets interesting after you're up and running with the document management solution. And it's, hey, can we also do this? Or where are we going to let this piece live?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's funny. It does compete with a lot of different products out there. And I think that, you know, you can extend them to get close to a pure play competitor in, say, a CMS space if you really wanted to invest in it. But, you know, does it make sense? So
it's also a question, what do you open with? You don't come out of the gate thinking, hey, I need a CMS, and SharePoint's in the running.
Yeah, that's right.
It's more like, I've got SharePoint running, and I need a CMS. Right. You know, why would I go to something else with something I'm already paying license for and running? But in my mind, and maybe you could correct me on this, it's like the thing that gets people to install SharePoint is document management.
It is typically the first workload, whether it's team sites for collaborating on projects,
or
whether it's individuals from the traditional My site, which they're now kind of rebranding as a, you know, your OneDrive for business. And I think that's, you know, most notably the customers that we see where they have file systems and they just want somewhere that's corporately owned with version control and metadata and, you know, external access and more, you know, easier controls on, you know, inside SharePoint.
Yeah, exactly. And once you get that in place, then, you know, the rest gets interesting, but they are add-ons. They are not the core story.
Right. Yeah, I mean, we see a lot of customers on premises using the search capability. I mean, Microsoft invested in Fast a few years ago now, and you know, that's totally integrated into the stack now. And you know, that's running up in Office 365 as well. But obviously, there are some limitations of what you can crawl in the 365 version compared to if you wanted like a true enterprise search running on premises that was kind of poking into a lot of your other enterprise systems outside of SharePoint.
Yeah, search is an interesting piece because I think it's actually one of the core capabilities when you talk about document management, being able to find the documents you put up there. Well, that was the beginning of this whole problem in the first place.
Right. No one could find anything on the file system.
No.
The envisionment was having team sites and metadata would solve everything.
Yes. And I have never met anyone who actually took their metadata seriously. You know what I mean?
Like, I think it's a pipe dream.
Yeah. That's not entirely true. I've done some work at factories, okay? Like oil refineries and fertilizer factories and things like that, where they actually have a librarian, a specialist in document organization, storage and retrieval, both physical and digital, because it's part of their legal compliance. You know, they have to show exactly when every valve was serviced, like those kinds of things. It's only when they had this, you know, substantial legal requirement that you ended up with somebody who that was their whole job, and they were really bloody good at it.
Yeah,
it's in regular business. It's just you never see it, and so it's you get back to the filing system is this pile, and you hope the search tool can magically sort through the pile.
Right. Yeah, we actually one of AvePoint's products that does the automatic classification, and we're seeing a lot of demand in kind of looking at the contents of a document and tagging it appropriately to make it more discoverable. But yeah, I think people are just used to using search now. I mean, it's the first place people go is either Google or Bing.
Yep.
You know, to go and discover content now via keywords. People are familiar with that way of discovering things. The Fast technology does do a lot of smarts, regardless of whether there's metadata associated with documents, to kind of trim down your result set, very much in the same way as the advanced search works in a Google or a Bing.
You know, the funny part about this is when search works effectively on-prem, you're happy that you have a search tool that works. When search works effectively in the cloud, you're kind of creeped out that they know too much about your data.
Where are they? Yeah, it's very true.
And that, you know, just to hit me that it's one of the problems with being in the cloud is because they do the same indexing you would have done on-prem. You feel like there's, you know, the same way people get creeped out about Google sifting through Gmail data. But I guess Google's right. Sin there is then they use your email keywords to send you ads. Where SharePoint in the cloud is just you type in search criteria and it actually finds the stuff you're looking for.
There's actually a really nice new web part called the Content by Search web part in SharePoint. That allows you to kind of build these very complex queries based on the search index and preview it before you save it. So for, you know, on a standard homepage of a SharePoint site, you can do all sorts of queries like, you know, show me the most recent content edited by your team that has been viewed more than X times. And obviously that should show you like the hot documents within that site.
Yeah, and that's an interesting part of good search indexing. It's not so much, okay, here's a box, type something in, and I'll pull something back for you. But just seeing that it's almost a taxonomy of your data. Here are the search terms that are not necessarily most searched on, but that would have the most hits.
Yeah, and originally that wasn't available in Office 365, but a few months ago that was actually launched as one of their service updates into 365. So I think pretty much every tenant has that now.
You know,
that was a blocker of why you wouldn't go to 365. So again, it shows that, you know, customer demands, putting pressure on Microsoft, they are listening and they're being able to react very quickly now in Office 365, which is great.
What I find it that an analyst in me would love the idea of taking all the documents of an organization and putting them in a place where I could find out, what are we actually talking about day in, day out? What do we mostly write about? You know, we think we know. We think we know what customers are most important to us and what topics are most important to us. But actually taking all of the information that a business generates and indexing in a way where you could actually see what we're really talking about.
Yeah, yeah.
I think that's
well, especially now with the, you know, the, I mean, the acquisition of Yammer and their push now for kind of the social sphere inside the organization. I think that more and more that acquisition matures and, you know, Yammer starts to, you know, become one with Microsoft products like SharePoint. And I think the compelling thing for me is seeing Yammer become one with Outlook, which they mentioned at the conference late last year. It'd be really exciting to see what they can do around conversations that happen on Yammer, but also, you know, the other places conversations happen, whether it's email or link. I think there's a definite workload there around conversation across those different products where, you know, Microsoft have a great story to leverage search to bring those all into one place and make it very easy to kind of, you know, draw that together and help with those, you know, business decisions and stuff around that.
Well, now you talk about all of the conversations inside of an organization between Link, Yammer, your email system, and SharePoint. Every one of those is words of an organization. So having them combined together so that you really have a sense of the overall gestalt of a business. And it's, you know, that almost, I put my security hat on there now. That's InfoSec dreams.
Right.
You know, pull me any references to anything that could be, you know, even vaguely sexually harassing or litigious in any way.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, it's really, really
interesting. And I actually, we were talking to a customer in New York. It was a FinServ customer. And they record all of their internal meetings as audio. And they get them automatically transcribed by, I forget what the software was called now. And those transcripts are actually uploaded as well, and that becomes a record too. So right. When they do their searches, it'll actually scan the official, what was spoken in the meeting, as well as any notes that were tracked in the meeting or, you know, anything around that project that was stored in SharePoint or discussed in Yammer or discussed in email.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's, you know, and I've worked with organizations and people where they automatically pass everything they do through the email system so that they do have one indexing point.
Right.
Every phone call gets transcribed in an email and, you know, all of those things just so that they have it all through email. The idea that we would just index it all and not have to duplicate all of that is pretty compelling.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, Jeremy, what's next for you? What's in your inbox?
I'm right now I'm working on from a community perspective, I'm digging very deep into the app model and seeing how, you know, what types of business applications make sense for customers. We're trying to come up with some new products here at AvePoint, and my role here is a product manager. And obviously with my experience in the SharePoint and, you know, field, looking for that next kind of killer app in the space is where my focus is right now.
Sure.
Along with kind of the continuation of my existing products. So, you know, it's exciting to kind of be given that kind of that grace to go out and do that. So that's kind of my focus right now.
Well, and it's, you know, the app model for SharePoint, if you look over the spectrum of the past 12, 13 years, has changed a few times. So.
Yeah, and I think that the community is a little bit kind of iffy around that aspect of, well, 3 years ago, you were telling me that sandbox solutions was the way of the future. And,
right.
And now, you know,
now you're doing what?
3 years later, you're going, well, actually, now it's the app model. And I think, you know, Microsoft have used up their lives there, and this app model has to be the last kind of permutation, and they just have to keep maturing this one model. And I honestly think that that what they've done with this model is the right approach.
Right.
There's some areas where it needs some maturity, but it's not going to mean a full, you know, re-architecture of the model. I think they just need to add some extra hooks. Things like the security side of the app model where you can create a list or library in SharePoint and break the inheritance and say only, you know, Jeremy has access to this list, that everyone has access to this site. Unfortunately, you can't do that with an app. The app will just inherit whatever the security is of the site it lives within. So there's little things like that I think, you know, as time goes on, as the service updates go out in Office 365, you know, you'll see Microsoft listening a lot. And I was really happy to hear that they've actually created a user voice site, which I've blogged about on my personal blog, where you can go and post publicly a suggestion of what you would like to see in the new app model and the dev development tools around it. And Arpan Shah and Sonia Kopcheva have actually been monitoring that, and some of those things have actually already been put into the roadmap. So, you know, they are actively listening to the wider community as well as to, you know, their most important customers that are sitting on top of the SharePoint. So it's good to see that voice and is being heard when they're posting on there, for sure.
Awesome. Well, Jeremy, thanks so much for talking to me.
No, it's welcome. It's good to catch up with you again. I'm sure I'll see you somewhere.
Inevitably.
Will you be at Build this year?
Almost certainly.
Yeah, okay. Well, I'll probably see you at Build then.
You bet. And thanks for listening to Run As Radio.